On the battlefield, I'm a warrior, ready to kill or be killed. I've defeated orcs from the north, sent Kandorian demon spawns back to the depths, and drank with Sumerian heroes. But when I get back from a hard day of disemboweling my enemies, I enjoy nothing more than to open my castle doors and find a dungeon crate as my reward for blood well spilled. Designed for roleplayers and tabletop gamers, Dungeon Crate is a monthly subscription box service with a treasure hoard of loot you can use on or off the battlefield. Miniatures, dice, tokens, coins, maps, modules, terrain pieces, handcrafted items, RPG jewelry, and more are yours for only a few gold per month. You even get a digital crate along with a physical one as an added bonus. So what say you? Are you ready for postal glory? Oh boy. DungeonCrate.com. Let the adventure begin.
The following program is part of the Inner Circle Podcasting Group. Go to InnerCircleComics.com for more high-quality podcasts.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
Greetings and welcome back to another Answer of the Week. It's our favorite show to do. My name is Matt Baum. I'm one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast. You can find me at Matt Baumstein on the Twitter. And sitting across from me is our head questioner, Mr. Joe Patrick. You can find him at JoePatrick116 on the Twitter. Joey, say hi.
I didn't know I was allowed since you were giving out all my vitals yourself.
Oh, you know, I just figured.
Yeah, well, no, that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, whatever.
It's cool. Speak for me. That's fine.
Well, you're going to set everything else up.
I'm not an adult man or anything.
It's a fun show, but we don't just argue. We review your answers.
No, arguing is what makes it fun.
To the question of the week. Here's how it works. Every week, the man I just told you about, Joe Patrick, posts.
Yeah, that's me.
The question of the week on the THN forums. You can go there and answer. Write as much as you want, or you can call us at 402-819-4894. It's our Google voice line. We're not going to answer, but you can leave us a message with your answer. Or you can send us an MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. All we ask is that you share the air and keep it less than 2 minutes. I will have to cut you off. I don't want to.
Listen, 19 calls.
Yeah.
19 calls.
That's a lot of calls.
If these calls are not 2 minutes at a maximum, we will be here forever.
Yeah, that's like, let's see, 2 minutes times 19, that's like 79 minutes, right?
Yeah, it's so long.
Wow. But before we get into it, Joe Patrick, can you please reset the question for me?
Okay.
See, the trick is I act like I don't know.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I do know.
Yeah, you're right. So this week's question came from your diseased mind. You wanted to know what everybody's comic book crushes were.
Yeah. It's Valentine's Day. Come on.
Yeah, we want to know what kind of weird perversions you got.
No, we're keeping it clean.
We want to know about you being in love with an inanimate object.
It's not an inanimate object. It's a fictional character.
Yeah.
Not that we, I've got a crush on my fridge. You know?
Look, my fridge is looking good.
It's going to be fun, but before we get into it, as we always do, we're going to introduce the cocktail of the week. This one is also Valentine's
I don't even know
Day
how to
themed.
Drink this thing.
It might be a little difficult. Honestly, a straw probably would lend itself better to this. We're calling it Star Fox's Secret.
I thought we were calling it the Jack of Hearts.
No, we're calling it Star Fox's Secret, baby. Yeah. It is 1 1/2 ounces of dark rum.
Oh, God.
3/4 ounces of Kahlua.
Mm.
3/4 ounces of coconut water.
Mm-hmm.
And 1/2 ounce of cream. You put it in a shaker. You shake it up. And dig this. You serve it in a young coconut. Do yourself a favor. Get a young coconut, not this easy crack coconut that I bought because that was a pain in the ass. You want a young coconut, Joe Patrick?
You can go to our Twitter and look at it. I put it in our Facebook. I put a picture of it up.
Beautiful
there.
Picture of it. Excelsior. Clink
clink.
I would totally have sex with the dude that served me this. It's pretty delicious.
It's tasty, yeah.
Oh, we're gonna be collecting all of our cocktail recipes later. The essential THN cocktail handbook.
The essential teenage cocktail handbook.
So let's get into it. Skylar Walker. He was the first one to hit us. I believe this is his second call.
He's into it, baby.
Skylar, good to have you back, buddy. You're ours now.
Hey, Joe and Matt. This is Skylar Walker with my answer to the question of the week, which is She-Hulk, Nightwing, and Lord Fanny to get a trans character in there. I actually tend not to sexualize comic book characters. I find that aspect of fanboyism deeply off-putting. But the heart wants what the heart wants, and I'm certainly not immune to it. She-Hulk, Jennifer Walters, I mean, this one I think is pretty straightforward. Who doesn't like the idea of a big, strong, green woman who can have her way with you?
Oh, man.
And
not to mention beat up
Dick
your bullet.
Dick Grayson, Jesus. It's as if God said, Bruce Wayne's good, but I want perfect. And there's nothing about Dick Grayson that isn't appealing to God, just about everybody.
Everybody. And
Lord Fanny, you know, I actually didn't sexualize Lord Fanny hardly at all when reading The Invisibles, but I can't remember the name of the artist off the top of my head, but she was drawn really, really attractive in
Lord Fanny, sexy
a few
as hell.
Of the arcs. And then her secret origin, where she went on her spirit journey and bargained with death for her witchy status. All of that was that was my favorite part of Invisibles. So Lord Fanny, purely for just her quality as a character. Okie doke. That's it for the comic book characters I've masturbated to.
Okay. Whoa, you sicko!
He just got done saying he
seriously
didn't do that.
Call number one. We immediately go there. Is this how it's going to be all day? Lord Fanny, super sexy. When we met her, she was leggy. She was blonde. She was gorgeous. And she's packing a little something extra. You know what I mean? Dick Grayson.
I do know what you mean. I could not read it, make it through the first trade of Invisibles.
Oh, I love the Invisibles. Dick Grayson. It's going to be hard to find a hotter dude in comics. That guy is so hot. The ladies love him. He's in amazing shape. Everybody comments on how cute his butt is. And She-Hulk? Come on, man.
Don't even get me started.
This super sexy She-Hulk.
We should have had Dave on the show for this.
She-Hulk was your girlfriend. No one could ever f*** with you. Just be like, hey, sweetie, that guy just mouthed off to me. Can you throw him into orbit? You know?
These are solid picks.
Sweetie, can you carry in the groceries? I'm tired. Thank you for your call, Skylar. You sicko. Good answers. James Randall calling us from the land down under.
Oh, God. He's made it real by pointing out in his email that we are so close to episode 250.
I know. Oh, my God. Take it away, Jimmy.
G'day, Joe. G'day, Matt. This is Jimmy Randall calling in from down under. Crikey, Struth Copper, with the answer to the question of the week. Comic book crushes. I'm going to go for the double points
we'll
on this
one. Spit out my drink.
As far as dudes are concerned, I hope this one counts. There is an ongoing Poe Dameron series on the way out from Marvel, so I'm going to have to call Poe my male crush. It's a new thing.
Oscar Isaac, he's hot. But
I think we've got a good future ahead of ourselves. Now, as for the ladies, who's my comic book crush when
really,
it comes to the
really
women?
Got down.
This question was great because it's something I actually like to ask people in my social circle and, hell, even people that aren't in my social circle. It's kind of similar to an icebreaker question. Which cartoon character is the hottest? Like, if you could nail a cartoon character,
Jessica Rabbit.
Who would it be? And the thing is, even though this is a completely subjective
Little
question,
Mermaid.
There is a correct answer. Thank God that Bongo Comics exists, because my answer is Marge Simpson.
What?
Sorry, if you don't feel the same way, look, each their own, but there is actually something wrong with you. So that's it. Poe Dameron, Marge Simpson, get the three of us together. And
whoa! Yeah.
All right. Take it easy, guys. Thank you.
Okay. I get Poe Dameron. Oscar Isaac is a very sexy man. Marge Simpson, the voice alone.
Wait, do that again. Hey, what's up?
No.
Hey, Marge, what's up, baby?
I don't know. Maybe there's different ideas of what is attractive in Australia. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
Big, tall, blue hair.
Look, I don't get it. I don't get the Marge voice. Simpson thing. That's fine. But Oscar Isaac, Poe Dameron, I just want Poe Dameron to, I just want him to, like, sit next to me. Like, we don't even have to. I just want him to, like, be my pal.
Oh,
I
totally,
like,
make out with Poe Dameron. That guy's hot as hell.
Just come over here and sit down.
Or
and,
Oscar Isaac. I'll go real life. Oscar Isaac is hot as hell, man. He's a good looking dude. I just watched Ex Machina this week. He was hot in that too. God damn.
No, he was kind of gross and dorky in Ex Machina.
He was still all ripped up and he looked pretty good to me.
Don't worry.
He's a millionaire too, you know, or billionaire maybe. I don't know. He's great, though. Good answers.
But he made killer robots.
Well, not on purpose. He made sex slave robots.
Oh.
He was creepy. That was James Randall.
Well, okay, well, we're two for two. People taking it immediately to the sexy place.
Yep. Should have seen this coming, you freaking perverts. Speaking of perverts, let's go check out Anthony, currently residing in Brooklyn. He pretends to be a family man, but...
Sup nerds, Anthony currently from Brooklyn here, and when I first read this question, I was like, no, you can't have a crush on a comic book character, a cartoon person, you can't, but I totally did. Like, I totally did. And when I first read the question, and in it, it says, like, you know, you might eventually fall for a fictional character. The first one that popped into my head was... Elizabeth Wakefield, one of the Sweet Valley Twins in Sweet Valley High, the book series, which I did read a number of them. And if you think for a second that that was detrimental to my social standing at Carlton Oaks Junior High School, you are correct.
Oh, yeah.
But that's a story, you know, for another day. My comic book crush was Donna Troy. Like,
of course
Donna
it was.
Troy, man. Like, as a kid, like, teenager, whatever, she was, let's face it, lovingly rendered by George Perez, right? Like, she's drawn to be a super attractive female in her costume and in her civilian clothing. Just a lovely young woman. I feel so uncomfortable talking about this because she's a drawing. But anyway, and she was super sweet and thoughtful and kind. But here's the thing, guys. Totally attainable. And I say that because she was dating / married to Carrie Long.
Did you see who she married?
A creepy, creepy douche. He's gross. He's gross and
he's
creepy.
Not.
So the thought occurred to me, like when I was a kid and a teenager and whatever, that like, oh my God, if she were not fictional, I would totally have a shot. And there you go. Totally had a crush on her. I'll admit it. So Donna Troy, I don't have a crush on her now. Like, we're good. Because she's not real. But whatever. This is embarrassing. Anyway, thank you. And bye.
Don't fight your feelings. It's fine. Come on. Donna Troy, she wore the hell out of those space yoga pants. Let me tell you.
Terry Long was not douchey and gross. He had the world's worst 80s perm.
Yeah.
And they never let him get out of it. I mean, he and Jericho essentially had the same hair. But Terry was a ginger.
Ugh, even worse.
Unceremoniously killed off panel in a car accident in the pages of Ron Mars's Green Lantern.
They're like, where's your husband? Oh, he died.
Well, they had divorced at that by that time because she was dating Kyle Rayner. I don't remember if it happened during Mars's run or if it was a little later, but Donna's ex-husband and their son were both killed in a tragic car accident.
Yeah. Brutal bummer.
Yeah, it's like, why? Why'd you need to do that?
Well, apparently he was a skeezball douchebag.
Nah.
So why not? Thank you for your call. Don't be embarrassed, Anthony. We feel what we feel. The heart wants what it wants.
Terry Long.
Let's go to Black Scorpion, the 3.
Nice. Nerds, I've recently reread the William Mesner Loeb run on Flash and found the origins of the comic crush that I had from being a kid through adulthood. That's Linda Park. Great character. I believed her, felt like I met her, and I'm a sucker for frankness, honesty, you know, all the real girl stuff. And Linda Park was the first girlfriend character that felt real, and I crushed on her just like Wally did. So that's my pick. Oh, and Matt asked for crushes across gender, so Kang's still the one that's got it. Aw, yeah. Till next time, there.
Kang!
Kang would be a tough one to date, you know? I mean, like, does that mean, like, you're also dating Immortus and Iron Lad and, like, you know?
I don't know.
Yeah, like, if I wake up with Immortus, have I cheated on Kang? I don't know. I mean...
I think you're in a relationship with Kang and it's complicated.
Yeah, yeah.
That's always your status.
Okay, so talk about your feelings for Linda Carr. I know you've got them. Linda Park, sorry.
Oh, yeah. I love Linda Park. She's great. She's a great character. I miss her. I miss... Wally and Linda's dynamic. I miss everything about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's she was sort of a Lois Lane-ish because she was in news, but she was a reporter, not a she was a TV reporter, not a
So completely different.
No, I'm just saying.
And I believe she was redhead, right?
No, she was Korean.
Linda Carr or Park?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I think you're right. She was Korean.
I think she was Korean or Vietnamese. I forget.
I believe it's Vietnamese.
Vietnamese. Because Wally meets her family a couple of times. But yeah, she was so good. And she was in that book from really early on. Not just during the Wade stuff. Like, she was introduced really early.
Was she Golden Age?
No. I mean, she was introduced in...
Silver Age.
No. She was introduced in that post-crisis Flash run.
Okay.
But Mark Waid didn't take over until issue 62. But she was in the book way before that. She was from almost the beginning.
Did Loeb's come up with her?
Yeah, I think Messner Loeb's came up with her.
Mm-hmm. All right.
First up. Appearance Flash 28. Yes, that would be William Messner Loebs.
Yep, created by William Messner Loebs.
1989. She's been around since 1989.
There you go. Doesn't say where she's Korean American. There you go. Linda Park. Good answer. Cute too. Asian persuasion. Let's go to the Google voice line.
You're going to make every one of these calls weird, aren't you?
Yeah. They're already making them weird. Okay, they did that on their own. I gave them every chance to be tasteful.
Hey, boys. Hey, listeners. This is Zach Howell calling in. So I almost didn't call in this week, mostly because I feel like I always pull from like the same four comics that I love. But then it occurred to me, my answer is from one of those comics, and it's a good chance to steal Matt's answer pop, possibly. So I'm gonna go with it.
I know where he's going.
My answer is from Mad Men.
Yep.
It's Josephine Joe Lombard.
Stole mine.
Frank Einstein, otherwise known as Mad Men's girlfriend. Why is she my crush? Well, first off, she's super hot, like redhead with a little... freckles. She's just adorable. She's not overly sexualized or anything. She just looks great. But personality-wise is where she's a real winner. I mean, she's tough. She's funny. She's witty. There's been times in the comic when, you know, Frank, and especially thinking about a time with Mott, when him and Mott couldn't, like, beat the enemy. So she was just like, you f***ing boys, and pulls the alien aside and, like, uses empathy and talks with him. And, you know, I think that's cool that, you know, she uses those qualities to actually win the day when they can't. The real reason I like her is she actually, and this is going to be corny, she actually loves Frank more than anything in the world. And if you look at Frank, the reason he wears his costume is because it boosts his self-confidence, because he was brought back from the dead. He's not that good-looking. And he's so worried about what Joe thinks about him. At one point, he actually pulls, like, Frankenstein bolts out of his neck. But, you know, he needs to wear this costume to feel good about himself, like he can hide himself. But Joe doesn't care about that. Joe actually just loves him for him being him. And, yeah, corny as hell, but come on, that's super sweet. So that's my answer. Hope you enjoyed it. Have a good one, boys.
Mike Allred is so good at making these very believable female characters that you cannot help but fall in love with. Joe was so cute. Redhead, freckles, not overly sexualized at all. She just looked like a real girl.
Sure.
And she was madly in love with Mad Men. They had the cutest relationship. I love her so much. I dated a little redhead that was the exact opposite of Joe. Actually, in fact, she was a monster, and I'm not going to say her name, but
because that would invoke her presence.
But part of me,
like Candyman,
thought to myself, I'm dating this girl because she looks like Joe from Mad Men. Little secret there. And now Dawn Greenwood in the pages of Silver Surfer. Oh, love her too. She's so cute.
Yeah.
But it's not a love story. She's not in love with Silver Surfer. They're just buddies. It's fun. Love that book. Good answer, Zach. You stole mine, but I've got a good backup one. Randy Andrews. What do you think? He's in love with the Danger Girl? What do you think?
I think we've tried to put Randy in a box before and it always backfires.
You're right. You're right. I don't know why we even try. Take it, Randy.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week. This week, you asked about what comic book characters do we have a crush on? Well, I don't necessarily have a crush on this character, but I do like him. I like Miguel O'Hara, Spider-Man 2099, with Peter David writing clear back in the 90s when Spider-Man 2099 was created. Clear until now, even with the events of the Spider-Verse, and the current events.
Old school Batman?
Which gave him his brand new
Spider-Man
outfit, which is really awesome, by the way. So that's my answer. Hope you like it. And check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net. And my music this week is the original Spider-Man theme. See you in a week. Bye for now.
Okay, I see what Randy's doing. He's trying to be a tough guy. I'm like, well, I don't have a crush on him. But I'm saying, yeah, you do. Randy's crush is on Miguel O'Hara, Spider-Man 2099. He's a Mexican.
If you didn't have a crush on him, Randy, why'd you even call in?
Yeah, he's a Mexican-Irish. Or is he Mexican-Scottish? Well, I don't know, O'Hara.
Well, I mean, he's American, but...
Nobody in his background.
Yeah, like his mom is Latina.
Yeah.
And his dad was secretly... Tyler Stone, president of the evil corporation Alchemax. 30-year-old spoilers there, sorry.
Son of a bitch, what?
I don't know where the O'Hara part came from, but yeah, his biological father is...
Born in New York City.
I mean, my last name's Patrick. That doesn't mean I consider myself Irish-American.
He grows up with his mother, Conchata, his younger brother, Gabriel, and his abusive father, George O'Hara.
Oh, so his... Not his real dad, though.
Yeah. Not his real dad. Well, we found out later. I don't know. They may have changed that. I don't know. We found out later. But Miguel O'Hara, good looking guy. I could totally see why you got a crush on him. Nice call, Randy. And yeah, we're forcing that on you. Deal with it. Elise Wisdom. She has some harsh feelings about Valentine's Day. So let's see where she goes with this.
Hey, listen, nerds. Ooh, it's a lady. This is Elise Wisdom here with my answer for biggest comic book crush. Now, let me tell you about this guy. This f***ing guy. He's funny, sweet, a little nerdy, a little crazy. Hates his boss, but he loves his girl. I'm talking about John from Sex Criminals. Not many guys can pull off a pink headband that says bull on it, or make Googling cancer AIDS seem adorable, but he somehow manages to do it. It's probably because the things that make John crush-worthy in my book are the things that make him a full-fledged, realistic character, flaws and quirks and all. Quirks are sexy as hell. Sure, the Robert Rainbow striptease was pretty hot, but if I have to choose between a sexy doctor or a sweet nerd who makes me laugh, I always pick the nerd.
Aww.
I think the moment my crush went into full effect were when he said the words, "F*** you, f***o," followed by, "Nailed it." Be still, my beating heart. And don't forget that he won therapy. Yay! This guy. This f***ing guy.
I got news for you. If you're in love with John from Sex Criminals, you're in love with Matt Fraction. I'm pretty sure it's just Matt Fraction writing Matt Fraction.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah. John's a hunky dude, though. He's cute. And his wiener glows. So there's that.
Bonus.
Yeah, I can't say that mine does, you know.
Or not that I know of.
Maybe I'm keeping it private. Maybe, yeah, that's, I mean, you know, for you to find out.
Preserve some of the mystery.
I don't know. Thank you for your call, Elise. That's a great answer. He, again, someone else looking for the approachable comic book character they have a crush on.
Well, I mean, that's what a crush is. Like, all these degenerates out there going straight to, like, who they thought was the sexiest. Yeah. No.
No, you want to get to know him as a person, you know? I'm attracted to Big Barda because we both like Mahjong, you know? I mean, not because she's 5 feet taller than I am, all right?
Yeah.
All right, Jim Kettner, batter up, buddy.
Hey, guys, Kettner here. So this week I had to fight my gut answer. It's so easy to say comic book crush and then instantly think back to my early childhood exposure to Yvonne Craig's shimmery purple batsuit, or my embarrassing early 90s affinity for the Cindy Crawford meets Bridget Tunnel Hair incarnation of Mary Jane Watson.
Ugh.
But not to take anything away from mine or any other nerd's sexual awakening, but if you ask me, a crush is something more than batsuit / big hair infatuation. When I think back to any of my own crushes as a kid, so much of it was based on personality and charm way more than physical attraction. A crush isn't just someone you want to make out with, it's someone that you want to hang out with too. And as such, it was pretty tough for me to choose any of the licensed characters because, for better or worse, their personalities and portrayals are pretty fluid and they can fluctuate greatly depending on who's writing them. So for my comic book crush, I felt I had to go with a character whose portrayal and personality are singular and consistent. And I can think of nobody more charming than Margarita Luisa Chascarrillo, aka Maggie the Mechanic, from Jaime Hernandez's wonderful Love and Rocket stories. Maggie is just so damn charming. She's the consummate lovable doofus of comics. She puts her foot in her mouth in hilarious ways. She's into cool shit, be it spaceships or wrestling or punk rock. And I'm confident that if she were real, we would have plenty to gab about. And on top of that, she's a total cutie. Los Bros Hernandez are known for nothing if not for drawing cool, powerful, and beautiful women. Maggie is no exception. And even in the most outrageous Love and Rocket stories, she reads like a real person, which is important in a crush. For the boys, I'm going to go with Marvel Boy, because bicycle shorts. Well, that's it for me this week, guys. If you want to hear more from me, please check out my podcast Galacticus on iTunes and my comics and illustrations at petnerd.com.
Saying if you're looking for a guy with white hair rocking bike shorts, you can't go wrong with Marvel Boy.
I don't think you can go anywhere but to Marvel Boy.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of anybody else that does. No, Maggie. I love that answer. Maggie was so hot. I loved her too. I love in Rockets. And I was like, oh man, I wish I had a punk rock girlfriend mechanic. Oh, love that answer, Jim. Ketnerd is a complicated man, but
yeah.
I'll tell you what, you can't say he's not romantic. The boy's got feelings. I love it. Time to check in with the Orca. Now I'll be real
honest. What's the over under on on what's going to happen in this call?
This could go one of two ways. Just let him take it.
Hello there, boys. Orca here. Below zero in my neck of the woods right now. I do not. But this question warmed my heart.
8 seconds
before
for the
we
first
get to meeting. My answer, a little good. House cleaning. First off, thank you for your support of my answer last week about rebooting the DCU. I took a chance going full-on nerd. You could have laughed at me, cut me off, or poked fun, but I think you both liked it, which this old man appreciates.
It was amazing.
What I didn't appreciate was being called out on the regular show when this question was introduced. I know I've recounted a few of my womanizing stories in previous answers, but for the sake of Danny and Elise... and that other chick from Minnesota or Dakota.
North Dakota.
What is she saying in that strange dialect of hers? The Orca has tried to tone it down. You've even commented on it.
It's
3 weeks ago,
it's
I talked about the music from a kid's show. Then I got all meta in the explaining comics answer. And last week was the aforementioned do-over answer.
How much time has he
all
spent on this
clean.
Defense?
And I think you'll be even more surprised this week.
Oh.
My comics crush is age-appropriate. Spider-Man's Aunt May. Not the quasi-hot Helen Mirren one we got lately, but the original. See, because when you're 92 like me, it's not so much about the boobies or legs anymore. It's just about companionship and genuine affection. We'd split time between her little house in Queens and my cabin up here in the woods, sitting in our rocking chairs together. Work up to holding hands, watching the sunset. Maybe we even pass away together, like Jimmy Rockford and his old lady in that Notebook movie. That would be nice. For the bonus answer, let's go to Eternia, home of the Masters of the Universe.
Yeah.
Who I'd like to be turned into a pair of Chinese finger cuffs
there
by Beastman and Triclops. Google that one, Danny. I'll let you guys use your imagination on for who's on which end. I'm back. Kiss, kiss, f***ers.
Oh. The man delivers every week.
It's like he never left.
I know. Aunt May, that's so sweet.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
No, but sure. I appreciate where
that's
he's
so
coming
sweet.
From.
He's 92. Cut him some slack.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's, he wants to go a few rounds with Triclops.
Beastman and Triclops. What an odd pick. Woo. What an odd pair of picks from Eternia. Of all the characters in He-Man.
I mean, at least it wasn't like Stinkor and, you know, Fisto. You know?
Oh, no.
Whoa. Thank you for your call, sir. That was great. There's only one way to introduce this person. That's to let everyone know what time it is. It is Toots time.
Oh, is it Toots time already?
It's time traveling toots time, guys. We're going back to 1985, where I fell in love with the jade-skinned giantess in the pages of Marvel Comics graphic novel number 18, written and drawn by John Byrne. It was magazine-sized and square-bound, and because it was published under the Epic line, it allowed Byrne to really push the limits with She-Hulk and depicted her in a sexual manner that I had never seen before, and my 14-year-old mind went bonkers. She gets dressed to go out on a date with Wyatt Wingfoot, and she's wearing a Playboy Bunny-esque tuxedo. They get captured by S.H.I.E.L.D., and S.H.I.E.L.D. makes her do, they strip search her, but they make her take her own clothes off while they all stand there and watch. They then give her a lab coat and throw her into a cell with Wyatt. She reverts to Jennifer Walter size in order to sneak out. She reaches back in and grabs Wyatt's ass. And then when she does Hulk out again, she shreds that lab coat, and she you can clearly see some of her nipple area revealed through the tattered lab coat in one panel.
Toots.
It was
one track mind on this guy.
My mind, my young mind. Now let's also go back to 1981. That's when I fell in love with Conan the Barbarian, specifically King Conan. Here was a king that acted not kingly at all, and that was wild to me. He was fighting on the deck of a pirate ship. He was jumping through pane glass windows to dive out of a cliffside castle. He was on the trail of his queen, who had been kidnapped. And man, I was like, who is this dude? This dude is awesome. So yeah, that's right. I'd f***ing Conan right now.
Okay, the question is not, would you f***ing Conan? The question is, would you let King Conan f*** you? That is love. All right, buddy.
The question is, would you help take care of King Conan when he had the flu?
Oh, please. Give me a break.
Would you risk infection to bring King Conan some chicken soup?
Oh, give me a break. I like that he called out his first experience. I also remember reading that She-Hulk story at a young age and going, oh, my.
Please do not say any more about it.
King Conan, man, he's into the hunky dudes.
He's, you know, he's got a type.
Everybody has a type. I get it. He likes the hunkier ones. Me, I'm more of like a skinny vegan hipster type guy that I can throw around a little bit, you know. That's just me. Let's go to the aforementioned Amy in North Dakota.
Or South Dakota or wherever she
one
is.
One of those damn Dakotas. She's got a bizarre accent. He's the Orca wasn't kidding. Listen to this.
Hey, Joe and Matt, Amy and Dee calling in with my last minute comic book crush. So mine's pretty obvious, but I've got a pretty serious crush on Dick Grayson as Nightwing, or I guess Dick Bats. I kind of feel I need to clarify that so I'm not coming off as crushing on a 12-year-old in bright yellow tights. But anyway, once he's all grown up, you can't deny the appeal. So here's my top five reasons to date Nightwing. One, he has like 24-pack abs. Even you dudes can argue that circus stunts and training with Batman.
We're not arguing it.
Pretty good to him. Two, he's super flexible. Don't feel like I need to elaborate on that.
Yikes.
I mean, I'm not the Orca. Three, he's basically Batman, only younger, nicer, and slightly more well-adjusted. So he's got that going for him.
Yeah.
Four, he's got game. Enough to land Raven, Starfire, Batgirl, and Huntress.
Oh, yeah.
Though you probably wouldn't want to mess with his exes too much. No. Might not go so well for you. And finally, number five, he's got access to all of Batman's toys and all that sweet bat cash. So ride in the Batmobile, late night grapple across the rooftops, box of chocolate batarangs that double as shark repellent. Dude's got Valentine's Day covered. So hopefully the rumors are true that if DC is canceling Grayson, it means they're relaunching a Nightwing book. But if not, I guess I'll have to get my kicks from back issues and my Chuck Dixon trades or those straight to DVD movies where his voice is Simon from Firefly. Anyway, that's my and probably every female comic reader's comic book crush. Till next time, happy Hearts Day, nerds.
And some dudes.
Dick Grayson is a sexy, sexy man.
Amy attached a graphic to her email. It's a poem. It says, Robin is red, Nightwing is blue, rhyming his heart, I'm Batman. And it's just the top of Batman's head peeking up from below with a little heart coming out of it.
Cute. I love it.
It's really funny.
Yeah. Thank you, Amy. Dick Grayson, sexy, sexy guy. We all agree. And I like that she's thought about it. She came up with...
She had reasons.
Yeah, reasons.
They were all sexual.
There's a comic book crush addendum from Anthony Krepp, from Anthony currently residing in Brooklyn. And I appreciate him saying this. He just wanted to assure everyone that if you hear trickling water in the background of my call, I wasn't urinating. It's my kid's aquarium.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah. I was like, well, if you just like stood up and urinated for a solid 2 minutes, that's impressive. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah. Thanks for the update.
Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Clay Staley. We haven't heard from this guy for a while. He says, yay, I remembered.
Hey guys, it's the Thunder from Up and Over, Doug Clay, currently residing in Portland. Calling back again. Listen. It's only been a month. Must be your lucky year. Also, I think I'm going to make it my tradition to only call after I have a really good show to brag to you about. This time it was seeing Red Fang with Yob in Witch Mountain. And then a few days ago, seeing my favorite comedian, Maria Bamford.
Nice.
Anyway, I thought I'd preface my comics crush answer for you. And then I realized that the more I preface it, the creepier it seems. And then I realized that that was funny, so I'm just going to kind of lean into it. I totally don't have a thing for high school girls. In fact, if you were to look at my current type, it'd definitely be somebody like Susie from Sex Criminals. However, when you said innocent crush, I couldn't help but think of high school, being the romantic nerd that I was. And who I totally would have had a crush on in high school is Kenzie from Lock and Key. She's cute and interesting and really unique and kind of mysterious. You would have only heard like rumors about what was going on at school. And she seems like she'd have really good taste in music, yet she's shy and definitely not a snob and isn't above hanging out with or talking to anybody. And she actually ends up being the strongest and bravest character in the book. While her older brother and mother spend their whole time moping around about their father's death, she ends up removing the fear and sadness from her head, only to later realize that coping isn't real without them and that she's actually stronger with them. And that moment where she puts the fear and sadness back in her head is just so heartbreaking, but really made me love that character. And again, totally not into high school girls who have gone through trauma. Totally not. Anyway, talk to you guys later.
With that said, they are easy to take advantage of. But I get where you're coming from, okay?
Matthew! No!
No, Clay, I'm in high school. I totally got a crush on her. Kenzie, she would be so cute.
Yeah, Kenzie's a great character.
Oh, man.
That's a good answer.
Very good answer. And thank you, sir. I'm a big Yob fan, but I always thought it was Y-O-B. I didn't know it was just Yob. And man, I'd love to see them. Quality stoner metal. Really good stuff. Great band. Just had a new record come out in the last few months. Excellent.
Join us next week for more Yobcast.
Stoner Metal Cast featuring Joe and Matt. Thank you, Clay. Always good to hear from you. I hope Portland's going well. We miss you in Omaha, buddy.
I did appreciate him Voltroning all the nicknames together. That's pretty good.
Nate Aguilar. My buddy Nate.
He says, don't judge me.
He just says, don't judge me.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Again, family man.
Hey, nerds. Nate here with my answer to the Valentine's edition of the question of the week. Real easy answer here. Member of the inner circle of the Hellfire Club, the White Queen, Emma Frost.
No judgment from now, me, brother.
Maybe my attraction started because I lean a little towards rooting for the villain. Or maybe because I'm pulled in by her take charge attitude, her no excuses way of getting what she wants. Or maybe because I have a thing for strong-willed women. Or maybe I kind of like the idea of being bossed around a little. Or maybe I don't want to play the piano, Mom. Maybe I want to go outside and play with... Wait, where was I? Oh, yeah. Please forget all of that. Two words. lace-up bustier, satin underwear, and thigh-high stockings.
That's so many more than two words.
All right. Yeah, I'm not a weirdo. I'm just a normal everyday dude like the rest of you guys here. No issues here. Let's go watch sports and hunt stuff. Yeehaw! Now, pardon me, I've got to go hump the fridge.
Look, I said it. The fridge is looking good.
Nate Aguilar, the White Queen. She's hard to resist. Although, you'd have to put up with quite a bit. She's a handful.
I never had a thing for the White Queen.
Oh, she's because, hot as hell. Come on.
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, but like her whole deal right from the start is like, oh, I get it. She's like,
she maybe hates men and uses them for control and which she arguably maybe did with Scott.
Think about her
X-Men.
Think
too.
About her role. No, I think she genuinely loves Scott.
Did you?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Think about her role in the Hellfire Club. It's like, you're the White Queen of the Hellfire Club, but they make you prance around in your underpants.
But that's sort of that's what all the ladies did.
Yes, but that what does that mean? That doesn't...
They're old-timey, Joe. It's different rules.
Old-timey, Matt. They didn't do that in the old times.
But she used her sex appeal as her power, too. That was her thing. She was taking advantage of the men by doing that.
Or she was being taken advantage of.
Yeah, it just depends how you look
at
it.
And I found the whole thing very creepy.
Some of those strippers are just trying to get through college, dude. You know? I mean, and like... Maybe they're winning, you know? Maybe we're the victims. You ever think of that? Maybe they're the smart ones. Playing okay. on our reptile brains.
All right.
You know?
Let's move on from this.
I'm just saying, I've always thought Emma, very powerful female, like super powerful female character. As far as just like bad ass bitch, takes no shit, don't get in her way. She's going to get whatever she wants. You cannot f her.
Except I think if you go back and look at those old Hellfire Club stories, you will find that she wasn't in charge of shit.
No, but she came out of that as a total badass. Like, yes. That formed her as a person.
Coincidentally, after she put some goddamn pants on
I'm just
and
saying.
Got away from the Hellfire Club, she became the White Queen that we know now.
Yeah, she's a total badass. Good answer. I like it. Harvey Locust. He really wishes he had time to listen to the last one before he recorded this one. I understand.
What difference does it make?
Yeah, really. Come on. You guys, I'll tell you what. You want to start producing the show? Take it away from us.
Thanks, Matt. This week I'm going with the Queen of Crushes herself, Kitty Pryde. That's right, I don't think hardly anybody escapes the 80s without having a crush on Kitty Pryde. If you were a male teen reader of X-Men, it was a rite of passage to have a crush on Kitty Pryde. Even Chris Claremont himself, you know, modeled her after somebody he had a crush on in school. And I think infamously, Joss Whedon had a crush on her, so much so that he wrote
big time
what I call one of the greatest Kitty Pryde stories of all time, Astonishing X-Men. To me, Kitty was just, she got me into comics. She was my way in. She was not only an easy crush to have, she was also a way into comics. She was a teenager when I was a teenager. She was, you know, I mean, it just, the timing was right. The attitude was there. The love of computers. Just, she was a nerd. She was a nerd like we were all nerds. So it was easy to fall in love with a nerd. And also we sat there and we watched her crush on other people over and over again. And it's easy to be like, oh my God, you feel so bad for this girl to watch her get her heart broken over and over again. So yeah, that's my girl answer. My boy answer, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to go to the TV verse for this one. It's got to be Captain Cold on The Flash.
Really?
Arrowverse, whatever you want to call it. Legends of Tomorrow. That guy is just so dreamy and so...
Really?
He is dreamy.
So... Anyway, thanks guys. Later.
I think Captain Cold in the comics is like really weird looking dude. Like he wears those little slit glasses and like,
yeah, I mean, but
always has a coat on even in July.
That's because he carries a gun that shoots ice.
I guess he's shooting it all the damn time.
It generates massive cold. Well, in the New 52, he wears a sleeveless parka. So, yeah. You know, yeah, fart noise is exactly what I think of it.
Kitty Pryde, man, her relationship with Colossus was like my favorite comic book relationship of all time. It was so cute. I loved it. And they crapped all over that. And now she's hooked up with Star-Lord, and I barely buy it. And I still don't understand why she's in space. But hey!
To be with Star-Lord,
I guess. Bendis has a crush on her, too, so he gets to take her wherever he goes, I guess.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call, Harv. Always good to hear from you. We got Hebrews checking in.
Hey, nerds. It's Ryan Mount, a.k.a. Hebrews, calling in with the question of the week. Superhero crushes. All right, when I think of a crush, who are you excited to see? You know, is it in a comic book? Is it in a TV show? Well, for me, it is. And my superhero crush goes to Supergirl. Not because of the reasons that Jeb Bush says, because she's hot, but because I'm just excited to see that character. When I got back into reading comics, I remember I really liked her book enough to read all the crossovers that she was in for a while. Now I come home Monday night after work, and then I do some spiritual counseling with some prisoners on Monday night. You know, I get to turn on the TV, and there's a fun-loving superhero on it. And it just, it calms me down. It's nice entertainment, and I'm absolutely loving the new story by Sterling Gates and Ben Gallinart. And
I need to read that digital
some
one.
Might be in the works, just about Supergirl with this love slave. So keep you posted. That's my answer. Supergirl, superhero crush. Later, nerds.
Solid answer, Hebrews. And I need to know if you're serious about the spiritual counseling with prisoners. That's amazing if you are. Wow. Supergirl, always been approachable, always been cute, except for the one time that she was drawn in the pages of Superman and Batman. Where,
yeah, not the belly shirt.
Yeah.
J. Scott Michael Campbell, Turner.
Or Michael Turner. Yeah. No. Drew her like belly shirt, like alien looking supermodel, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always had a little crush on Supergirl, too. She was always super cute and sweet. She was always very sweet. I always liked her. Always good to hear from you, Mr. Hebrews. I got to watch the Supergirl show. I haven't watched.
It's good. You'll hate it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, probably.
Really?
Because you are incapable of finding the joy in things.
That's not true at all. And like I've heard it's like the TV reviewers love it.
If you don't like watching The Flash, you will hate Supergirl.
I do not like The Flash.
The Flash is an amazing program and you are stupid.
Man, I'll give it another try. Whatever.
You have to let go a little.
I understand that. It's not that. My problem is not with it, like letting go with, you know, who the character is. It's bad acting. It's bad writing.
You are wrong.
Bad plotting.
You are wrong.
It's stupid music and it's poorly directed.
Stupid.
I mean,
no, you are wrong.
Whatever.
You are wrong. And everybody on earth agrees with me that you are wrong.
Let's go to Jeffrey Patterson before this gets out of hands. Is Jeff new?
I think he might be.
Oh, no, this is Tone Deaf Jeff.
Oh,
this is the second one. He says his recording came in at 2:10, but it's kind of a love letter to his wife. I hope you can find it in your heart. Hearts? No, we share one. I don't know how many hearts a two-headed nerd would have. Just one. To grant me an extra 10 seconds. I'll be the Alec Baldwin. Robot Alec Baldwin will be the judge of that. He has no.
This is Jeffrey Wood Patterson, second of his name, comic book king of Los Angeles and owner of the Eisner Award winning Heidi Ho Comics in Santa Monica. My answer to comic book crushes is Harley Quinn, but not for any reason you might guess. On our second date, my now wife, Melissa, asked me which superhero character I was most like. The answer is obvious. Benjamin J. Grimm, the Thing. He's big and ugly with blue eyes. He's hard-headed, funny, loyal, and a little clumsy. He's a hopeless romantic despite being a 6-foot-tall rock monster. In other words, exactly like me. Then she asked me which character she was most like. I told her I'd have to get back to her, as this was a very important question and I needed more time. Later, I was watching Batman the Animated Series and it hit me. Harley Quinn was a clinical psychologist. Melissa has her master's in therapy and works at a live-in facility for people with mental illness. Not quite Arkham Asylum, but close.
Well,
Harley Quinn
good.
Loves to laugh, and after a few dates, I knew that all I wanted to do for the rest of my life was to make Melissa laugh.
Oh.
So I told her that she was most like Harley Quinn, and Melissa immediately loved the choice. This is a woman who had never even read a comic before. On one date, I had to tell her that Clark Kent was Superman and Bruce Wayne was Batman. But now she wanted t-shirts with her new favorite comic character on them. She wanted every appearance of Harley Quinn so she could have her own comic collection to put next to mine.
Aww.
She came to San Diego Comic-Con with me. And for those who haven't been before, it's like Burning Man, but with nerds. And she stood with me the whole time, even telling me to spend more money when I was unsure of a purchase. After 9 months of dating, I proposed using her comic book. 2 days before getting married, she gave me a custom-made 4-foot-tall painting of the Thing marrying Harley Quinn.
Aww,
my character and her character weird. Together. It is the best present I've ever gotten or ever will get. 2 days later, we were married, and my groomsmen all wearing superhero costumes under their tuxes, us leaving the church to the theme from Superman, and driving off in the DeLorean from Back to the Future instead of a limo.
Good Lord!
All this for a girl who had never even read a comic before that first date at the Cheesecake Factory. So how could I have a crush on any character but Harley Quinn?
I'll tell you what, you got lucky, bro. You take me to on the first date to Cheesecake Factory, I am not calling you back. Okay? That place sucks.
Right? Snob.
But that is so cute.
You are a straight up
snob. That is
snob.
So
you're
cute.
A snob with your food. You're a snob with your shows.
There's nothing snobby about saying that. The Cheesecake Factory sucks.
Why you don't
sucks,
like the
Joe.
Flash? Because you think you're too good for it?
No, the Cheesecake Factory sucks. All right? Now, I will say the cheesecake is delicious.
Well, no. It's called the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah, but they serve everything. It's just stupid. Come on.
Jeff, that was beautiful.
That was beautiful. His Valentine is his wife and Harley Quinn. I hope his wife doesn't carry a huge hammer and hit him with it or anything. And I hope she's
unless
not obsessed
he's
with the
that.
Joker. Yeah, I mean, unless you're into that. We're not here to judge. Jeff, thank you for your call. Good to hear from you. Let's go back to the Google Voice line. This one's local. I'm not sure who it is.
Is Jeff Head.
Is it Jeff Head?
Yes.
Our good friend Jeff Head. See the skull on this guy.
Hey, Jordan Matthew. It's Jeff
hey,
Head.
Jordan Matt. It's Jeff Head calling in for the special Valentine's Day.
I gotta turn him up.
Hey, Jordan Matt. It's Jeff Head calling in for the special Valentine's Day episode. And yeah, I have absolutely no idea how to answer a question about comic book crushes because. I don't think I ever fell in love with a comic book character, like a crush, but I would say that, I did fall in love with, a comic book character so much so that, I wanted them in my family. And so growing up, I had loved the Fantastic Four, still do. But I think the character I love the most other than the Thing, cause he's awesome, is Franklin Richards. I love the interplay, the romance between Reed and Sue. I love the way that they loved Franklin and the number of stories where they fight to save him or protect him. I loved the introduction of Valeria into the family. I just love the picture that family is of a family that sticks together, that struggles, that fights, that doesn't try to protect their children from all the dangers of the world, just the dangers that they can, that teaches them to be accepting and kind and loving to others. And yeah, so I love those characters so much, but especially Franklin, so much so that I have a son named Franklin. Thanks, guys.
Nerd.
It's true. He does.
Okay. Jeff's a dad. So I'll give it to him. It's cute. He loves the family. We'll say that. He loves the Fantastic Four.
I like it. Yeah. Well, I mean, Franklin, he wants Franklin to be part of his family.
I hate Franklin. I'm coming right out and say it. I've never given a crap about that character. And I feel like he's been so misused for so long and they won't let him grow up.
You can't have Franklin grow up because then you have to make everybody else old.
I just hate Franklin. I'm sorry. I hate him. Perpetual 8-year-old. Whatever. I love Jeff Head. I love Jeff Head though. And I'm saying from now on, we call him Jeff Head.
Yeah,
Jeff Head.
Jeff Head.
Jeff Head. Your new nickname.
I give it the fist.
There it is. Sometimes we nickname you. Sometimes the Google transcript does it. You know, that's just how it goes.
Well, I love that answer. I think it's very sweet.
It's very sweet.
And I'm kind of with Jeff because I'm really struggling to come up with my own answer because I don't remember ever thinking of a comic book character that way.
Oh, I know exactly my answer. Oh, yeah. I got two of them.
Gross.
Bing, bang.
Gross.
We got a final call from a first time, long time caller.
He must be a first-time, long-time because he obviously did not know the rule about getting his call in
certainly
by 5 o'clock.
He doesn't understand the time schedule.
But that's okay. I mean, we'll cut him some slack.
Yeah, it's here.
As I was had to nerd him.
He's been drinking.
First-time, long-time. I got to apologize for being... I know it's late. I know it is late in the evenings. I got to apologize. I had a couple of some... I indulged it in some I had some drinks. And I want to answer with my crush. I'm sorry. Just sit down. Calm it down, Joseph. Joseph, calm it down. Okay. I would have said, so what people don't know about with first time me is when, you know, I'm like practical, right? Logic, right? You know, I don't just awful crazy, you know, it's more ground, right? So ground. I was, you know, for me when I was crushed, I never really had the crush because I you know, when I started to get the feelings to put, you know, my pen in the ink.
Whoa!
I wanted something that I could put. I could do it. You know, I wasn't fantasizing about somebody that wasn't even possible on the radar. I wanted the real. You know, somebody that was as little me when I started thinking about this. I wanted to be somebody that I had a shot with. You know, Power Girls, I got no shot. Supergirls, I got no shot. Wonder Woman's, I got no shot. Emma Frost, no shot. Invisible Girl, no shot. So when I was the one that I had the crush on, it made most sense to me. And she's just, I thought she's very attractive. And that was Cat Grant. I had a crush on Cat Grant.
Bloody Cat Grant.
That I could trust the women. That's what it is. So that's my answer, boys. Cat Grant. All right.
Cat Grant, she was always kind of the office tease, you know.
Well, it depends on what version of Cat Grant you're reading about.
But wasn't she always kind of flirting with Clark?
Yeah, Cat Grant historically was very amorous.
Yeah,
let's say
she always kind of had a thing for Clark. Lois didn't like her.
Yeah.
Cat Grant, that's a good answer. I like it. First time, long time.
I hope, listen, man, I hope you can handle your coconuts there. First time, long time.
Sounds like you had a couple too many Star Fox secrets. Good calls from everybody. They're all in the notes. Now we got to pick our favorite one. This is tough. I think I got to go with Skylar. He was the very first one, and he picked, I mean, sure, some fairly obvious ones, but I loved his reasons, and I loved that he threw Lord Fanny in there. Love that. He was the only one brave enough to pick a transgendered character. I'm going with Skylar. Lord Fanny, She-Hulk, and Dick Grayson. All super sexy choices. God damn. And good people, too. Jen Walters? I'm not just attracted to She-Hulk because she's huge and sexy. Jen Walters is smart. She's a lawyer. She's funny. I love Jen Walters.
I think I'm giving my favorite to Harvey Locust.
Okay.
Because a lot of people mentioned Kitty Pryde.
Sure.
But Harvey really broke it down in a way that I was like, yeah, I can see that.
He loved Kitty.
Yeah. And it seemed very genuine and very innocent.
I love Kitty too. Sweet little Jewish girl.
Yeah. I just like how we talked about, you know, he was a teenager when she was a teenager. They kind of grew up together. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I get it. He sold me on it. I was like, yeah, Harf, I get it.
That's cute.
So there you go.
Let's get into our crushes.
All right, you go.
I knew mine instantly. I was going to go with Joe because I just love Joe so much from Mad Men. Mike Allred draws the cutest girls in the world. Love them. But I'm going to go with a brother-sister combo.
Ew.
I'm not saying I want them both at the same time.
All right.
I'm saying one or the other.
I guess we'll see.
I'm going to start with Betsy Braddock. Before she was Psylocke.
Yeah, okay.
Before she was
the funny thing is that I knew this about you, so it's not even really a surprise.
Before she was Asian Ninja Psylocke, she was prim, proper, adorable, purple-haired British Betsy. She wore a fluffy pink costume.
Yeah, big sleeves.
Yeah, she didn't show off her tatas. She covered her body. She was strong. She was sweet. Oh, I love Betsy Braddock so much. And I did not give a and still to this day don't give a shit about Ninja Psylocke. I mean, she's fine. Don't get me wrong. But I did not need that crap.
Sure.
Now, dude crush, her brother, Brian Braddock.
Captain Britain.
Captain Britain. Big, sexy, British, blonde, always doing the right thing. You know, like, oh, man. Captain Britain, so hunky and gorgeous. Love him. Betsy and Brian.
I get it, man.
They came from some good stock.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Sure. They came from some good stock.
Yeah. Who's your that accent? Oh, how could you fight that?
Man, I still don't really know.
Yeah, you do.
I don't.
Yeah, you do.
I just never really thought romantically about comic book characters. I mean, I guess if I had to pick one. Oh, and so like if I had grown up reading the X-Men, I'm sure Kitty Pryde would be on my list, but I didn't read X-Men comics until I didn't really read X-Men comics regularly until
I know there's a certain Teen Titan.
The early 90s.
That you were in love with.
A certain Teen Titan.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Are you a boy or a girl?
Both.
But yeah, by the time I was reading X-Men comics, Kitty Pryde wasn't in them.
Your dude crush is Wally West. Come on. Your dude crush is Wally West. You love Wally West more than anyone in the whole world.
But I didn't have a crush on Wally West.
Yes, like, you want to have babies with Wally West.
I wanted Wally West to be my buddy. Like, I wanted to hang out with Wally West. I thought it was awesome.
You have a massive dude crush on Wally West. Don't lie about it.
Fine. If I'm being real, if I had to like narrow it down to somebody that I had a quote unquote crush on, it would probably be Superman when I was little, because at that time, especially, Superman was more of like a fatherly character.
Sure.
It was like, oh yeah, that dude could totally like take care of me. You know,
that still translates now. Superman,
but yeah, I mean, but I never wanted to like smooch him. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. You didn't.
No,
sure. You didn't.
For me, my
who's your lady crush? Who's your lady crush?
I'm getting there. When I first started to think in those terms, where I was like, oh, well, look at that. Probably Saturn Girl from the Legion of Superheroes.
God, you're a dork.
Because
not Beautiful Dreamer.
No, Beautiful Dreamer is from the Forever People. You're thinking of Dream Girl.
Oh, sorry, Dream Girl.
Saturn Girl from the Legion, because when I first read Legion comics, when I had my little digest of Legion reprints, she was wearing the weird, sexy stripper outfit that Dave Cockrum.
I gotta look this up.
Designed for her.
I don't even know what it looks like. Saturn Girl.
It looks like a one piece bikini, you know, the slinging, like a Vampirella costume.
Let's see. Oh God. It was like pink. And it had like a little like it showed up the sides of her belly.
It sort of looked like Storm's costume, right? But
oh man, and she had like the diamond leggings on and stuff.
So if we're talking about like a pure crush, you know, where I just like, oh man, I just really like her and I want to be with her and hang out with her and it was probably Supergirl from right around the time of Crisis on Infinite Earths number 7, because right up until the point where she died, that whole comic was about how much everybody loved her.
And yeah, pretty much.
And about how, you know, she sacrificed herself to save the most powerful comic book character ever created.
Yeah, she's pretty much the best person in the world.
Yeah. And then at the end, when they do the funeral, it just was like it wasn't like the death of Superman, which I admit, 14-year-old Joe Patrick still was kind of, like, I kind of fell for it. And I was like, oh, Superman. But the Supergirl funeral in Crisis number 7 was legitimately heartbreaking. And all Perez had to do was show little panels as she's being eulogized, show little panels of everybody from the Marvel. Like, people traveled through time
from the DCU
to come to Supergirl's funeral. And again, I know it all sounds super weird that this would be what my crush is formed around.
Yeah, it's kind of dark, dude.
But it just the idea of a character that good and pure that was that beloved. Oh. I was like, yeah, I am into that, man. Not like that.
Yeah, I want to hit that, man. I want to hit that dead girl. You're a real creep, Joe Patrick. Thanks to everybody that called in this week.
Well, now I sound like a weirdo.
That wasn't fun. That was a ton of fun. And it didn't get nearly as perverted as I thought it might. You guys did a great job.
It got kind of perverted.
Got a little perverted here and there. But, you know, that's what they tune in for. While we're still here, Joe Patrick, why don't you tell these kids about this week's question of the week?
This week's question comes from Elise Wisdom, who wrote, I'm having a rough week at work, and it's only Tuesday. So, how about this for a question? What character in comics has the worst boss?
Who's got the worst boss?
Or who is the worst boss?
We've all had a boss. Come on, we want to hear who's got the worst. And we're stretching it to, like, not just, like, person they work for at their job and their alter ego, but, like, you know, team leader. or something like that. Yeah. You know, I mean, like,
they get it. Get creative. Like,
oh, Flint, that son of a bitch from G.I. Joe. Can you imagine serving under that jerk?
You know, the first fictional character that I probably had a crush on was Scarlet, now that you bring up G.I. Joe.
Really?
But that was from the cartoon, not the comic.
Okay. All right. Scarlet was cute.
Oh, man.
She was super cute.
Yeah, she had that crossbow in her.
Bad ass, too. I was more of a Lady J man myself. But, you know.
You know, I never really got into Lady J.
She was, you know, she was tougher than Scarlet, that's for certain.
Bullshit.
Nah, give me a break. She was taller, wider. She was stern. She was tough.
No way. Scarlet will kick her ass. Oh,
please. Thanks again. We don't have a show without you guys. If you're thinking about calling in, do it. 19 calls is not enough. I want 75 calls.
Stop that.
Week. I want this to be a 6-hour show.
We told them. Not a year ago that we were going to have to cut it back.
It's true, but we got over that. We'll have another episode of the Two-Headed Nerd comic book podcast hitting this weekend. You guys know it. You guys love it. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for everything you do for us. And thank you for playing along with us. Before we go, our Alec Baldwin AI is going to tell you how to get in touch with us one more time. He's been behaving, but I've been watching him. His programming's been getting a little weird lately.
Yeah, I wouldn't count on that lasting.
Yeah. For now, this is the Two-Headed Nerd, signing off.
This is the Ziggurat's Alec Baldwin AI, thanking you for your download and continued support of this stupid, pardon me, of this show. Personally, I always thought Danger, the living embodiment of the X-Men's Danger Room, was the bee's knees. What can I say? Those metal dreads did it for me. If you'd like to answer the question of the week, you can leave Joe and Matt a message at 402-819-4894. Send your MP3 answer to twoheadednerd@gmail.com. Remember to share the air and keep your answer under 2 minutes, please. I have no qualms about cutting you off whatsoever. You will see just how much I care about your lives, let alone your opinions when. Never mind. Enjoy your weekend while you still can.